Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, it's my mom.
Hey, mommy.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
That's how I know.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Thursday, April 27th. Good morning and welcome back to the final hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across America and beyond, wherever you may be this morning on this Thursday in the third week of Easter here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, as we do every morning. Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories making headlines here this hour on this Thursday?
Well, John, wrangling over the budget in Congress continues. The House approving Speaker McCarthy's bill. It'll raise the nation's debt ceiling by $1.5 trillion. It also includes a package of spending cuts. The Democrats want no limits on the spending, and Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says in the Senate the bill will be dead on arrival.
It'll be really interesting how this whole thing develops, because the two parties have been battling for some time.
They always figure out a way, at least to kick the can down the road a little further. But every once in a while, they need to pass some legislation that locks it in place for a while.
Meanwhile, Tucker Carlson emerged on Twitter last night. He didn't mention Fox News. He spoke just a couple of days after Fox News fired him with a 2-minute campaign style monologue that didn't exactly address why he suddenly became unemployed. He posted the video on Twitter just shortly after 8 p.m. Eastern time, which is exactly the time that his show used to run. And he talked about the lack of honest political debate in the media. So here's a part of that video.
Good evening, it's Tucker Carlson. One of the first things you realize when you step outside the noise for a few days is how many genuinely nice people there are, and a bunch of hilarious people. The other thing you notice when you take a little time off is how unbelievably stupid most of the debates you see on television are. In 5 years, we won't even remember that we had them. Trust me, as someone who's participated. And yet at the same time, the undeniably big topics, the ones that will define our future, get virtually no discussion at all. Both political parties and their donors have reached consensus on what benefits them, and they actively collude to shut down any conversation about it. Our current orthodoxies won't last. Nobody actually believes them. This moment is too inherently ridiculous to continue, and so it won't. Where can you still find Americans saying true things? There aren't many places left, but there are some. As long as you can hear the words, there is hope. See you soon.
Glenn, your thoughts?
Well, I think for some on the right, he's kind of like the conservative Oprah. So maybe his next step is starting a magazine named after himself, or perhaps a book club.
Who knows? But the one thing, and you mentioned it last hour, and I thought it was quite insightful, because I was thinking the exact same thing. Now there's no excuse for folks not participating in the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky at 7 p.m. Every single night of the week, the same time that Tucker's show used to start. I'm sure there were some folks who were tempted to watch Tucker instead of praying the rosary with Father. Now, no more excuses.
Oh, that balance between being conservative and being Catholic, it's a tough one, but there is maybe a better choice for you now at 7 Central. Hey, we'll see. Hey, you know what it is today? And this worked for me when I was a kid, as well as bringing my own kids. It started out as take your daughter to work day. Now it's take your daughters and sons to work day today. You got any extra ones along today, Sarah?
Let me look. Nope, they're all accounted for. My husband just let me know that he shipped them off to school, and they're nice and safely in their uniforms and backpacks. So that's always comforting, because, you know, sometimes when you take those family trips and you do park the car and you have to do that double check. Wait, did I bring someone in the car, so you don't leave them in there, or you make sure you take them out? There's always that extra thing there. But what a wonderful day. Bring your kids to work. Isn't that nice when we have a little reprieve? They can come in and they can see what's going on. And usually if my kids come to work, they take all of my candy, so I have to restock afterwards, because that's the beeline right for where I leave my candy jar. Ah, come on now.
I'll never forget the time you brought in little baby Lucy, and she was so quiet, not a peep out of her. I had no idea she was even in the studio.
You know, that's the blessing of those first early months of babyhood, just that where that sleep like a baby comes in. They're very quiet. They sleep a lot, and unless it's time to eat. And man, yeah, you were so engrossed doing your show. I mean, that's a credit to how you did the show. You had no idea that she was in there, wiggling around and sleeping and everything. And I see, John, today you did bring your son to work.
Yes, I brought a photo of my used-to-be baby. He's a big boy now. Joseph Dominic, he's 15. He's a freshman in high school. Obviously, he's in school, but I did bring in this adorable picture of him framed. One of my favorites. I was in my office at home, and I brought it in this morning since I can't bring the big boy to work this day.
You know, well, guys, I was thinking of a time I went to school. I got out of school. I went to work with my dad. So I was the kid brought to work back in dinosaur times. My dad did construction, so there weren't too many times I could kind of go with him. But I was actually the first child, I think, in the child psychology building at the University of Minnesota, because that was one building he worked on. And there was another elementary school he worked on, so I was actually technically the first kid in that school, too. But we were driving after work going home, and probably the only time in his life my dad ever ran out of gas. And it was on a busy four-lane street that allowed parking during the middle of the day, but not once the afternoon rush hour hit, like right at 4 o'clock. And so we ran out of gas about a half block away from a gas station, and there we are. And I'm left in the car because it's dinosaur times, and I guess it's safe to do back then. I'm like six, and I'm sitting in the car. My dad's walking just a half block. I can see him the whole way to go get a can of gas to get us going again. But suddenly that right lane we're in has turned into no parking, and a car pulls up next to our car, and this lady is very angry and yells at me and says, "Hey, you can't park there." You know, and I was big for my age, but I was six. I did not drive yet. So that's one of my memories from going to work with my dad.
Oh, man, that's funny. I could just, yeah, you can't get away with that kind of stuff now, even if you're just walking, like literally you're just walking to get the mail or something, somebody will probably call the cops on you. So, yeah, that's an interesting story. I love that, Glenn. I love that your dad, before Seinfeld was even around, was trying to see how far he could go on that tank of gas. So,
Glenn, you're still big for your age, except that now you use a big microphone.
There we go.
There we go.
All right. As always, thanks so much, Glenn and Sarah. We begin every hour always in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, always keeping in mind that every day is a gift and every day is a blessing. And we always pray through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio and my hero, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On Thursdays, I always take a moment to remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday by our Lord Jesus Christ. During this Eucharistic revival period that our bishops have called for, try to visit Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament sometime today, if you can. We are reminded as Catholics that we believe in the true presence. We believe that Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the Blessed Sacrament. And so even just a 30-second, a 2-minute visit and saying, you know, "Thank you, Jesus," it's a beautiful thing and it's a great habit. You can find us on social media, on Twitter. Our handle is at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And of course, if you want to send us an email directly, it's morningair@relevantradio.com. Again, our number, if you want to be part of the program here this morning, 888-914-9149. Now, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, You members of the Relevant Radio family, sometimes you just don't know who is listening to Relevant Radio, or that the words that we say on the radio can actually change somebody's life to the point of converting into the Catholic faith. These are truly miracle moments. Now, earlier this month, a longtime Relevant Radio listener called into Morning Air, and I remembered she actually sent me an email way back in 2007 in the early days of a Morning Air. That email was so memorable that I printed it and I've saved it all these years. I had a few copies because it really touched my heart. Let me just share with you part of what that email said. Dear Mr. Morales, I used to listen to you on Relevant Radio during a very formative stage of my growing interest in the Catholic faith, and you made such a difference in my life. I thank God I was listening one morning when you were reading the sixth chapter of the Gospel of St. John. I had never in my Protestant life heard this chapter read with such meaning. It was simply not part of my worldview. After what you read, I was never the same. I have that complete email here with me in studio. It's something that I never forgot. And joining us live from Madison, Wisconsin, is Catholic convert Jennifer Doss to share her conversion story that she calls Relevant Radio Was My Church and My Catechist. Jennifer is originally from North Carolina. She really is a Southerner, and she moved to Madison in 1997 from Florida a few weeks just before Mother Teresa passed away. Jennifer is a wife, a mother of two grown children. She's a librarian and works part-time in an office, and she loves to knit, read, and walk dogs, something that we have in common there. I am a huge dog person. Good morning, Jennifer. It is so good to be with you once again. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Gosh, it's so good to be here with you. I can't believe I'm getting to talk to you. I'm so glad you read that letter because it's still absolutely 100% true. The time you read that passage, the scales fell from my eyes.
Well, Jennifer, yeah, it touched in my heart when you sent me that letter way back when. And you didn't have a phone number. There was no way to get back to you at the time. And It's a reminder that you never know the power of the words that one says on Relevant Radio. There are words that can touch people's hearts and can begin the process of really the scales falling off, much like what happened to St. Paul and seeing the light. I'm just curious, how did you find out about Relevant Radio in the first place?
Oh, it's really funny. I was riding along in my car that only had an AM radio one Sunday afternoon, and the only station I could pick up was Relevant Radio, and Steve Ray was giving his testimony. And now I was an evangelical, and when he started talking about a Baptist walking into a Catholic church, I just went, click, that can't happen. But I kept turning it back on, and it was Relevant Radio. And then I discovered Morning Air with Jeff Cavins when I was driving to the dog park. And I just fell in love with the way he taught the faith and the Bible. And I just started listening almost all the time. And I didn't realize I wanted to be a Catholic until I started hearing all this truth coming over the airwaves. And now I look back and I see all kinds of seeds God was planting, but basically Relevant Radio was like just prepared the fertile ground. And I listened and listened and learned and learned. It's an amazing ministry that you all have.
Well, I really appreciate it, and you speak for so many listeners. You know, I think of all the miracle moments that we've heard about in recent years, you know, people that have been away from the faith for 30, 40, 50 years and have come back to confession, have come back to Mass. People like yourself that were, other denominations, evangelicals, and have come into the fullness of the faith. It's amazing how God works. He's using us here on Relevant Radio as just an instrument, really. clearly, like a pencil, as Mother Teresa used to say. Can you share with us what you remember about what was it about John 6 and the Bread of Life discourse, which ironically and providentially it's being read in Mass in these days here as we speak? What was it about John 6 that helped you in your conversion and really to instill a hunger for you to want to become Catholic and receive the Holy Eucharist?
I think that the most obvious thing is that it's so clear. And how can you not understand the Eucharist if you read that chapter? I mean, you can't, there's not symbolic, there's not, you know, there's no way around it. It is just straightforward. This is what is going to be. And I think that we must have spent a whole lot of time avoiding that chapter, all the years and all the Bible studies I went to. And I felt really cheated because of that. You know, I realized that I must have always been a Catholic, because when I heard that, it just pierced my heart, you know? I just think I'm so glad we read it every year and that we make a really big deal of it, because it is the cornerstone. You know, it is amazing, and it's there for us. We don't have to piece it together from bits here and bits there and inferences or anything. It's right there.
Do you think it was, at the end of the day, was the Holy Spirit that helped you to understand John 6, that Jesus was speaking literally and not symbolically?
He's been nudging me towards the truth ever since you have to let him do it, though. You have to be open to letting the Holy Spirit show you where the truth lies. And I just think that I was so blessed that day to be doing laundry and listening to you on the radio, you know.
Well, God,
I was just really blessed.
God bless you, Jennifer. I so much appreciate that. And, you know, I'm not kidding you. You know, it touched my heart then, and I kept that email printed out all these years as a reminder. This is what we do, bringing Christ to the world through the media. It's so important. You know, it chokes me up when I think about it, how God can use us to touch people's lives. And, you know, I thought to myself, since you were so touched by hearing John 6, I want to briefly share part of that Bread of Life discourse here this morning. And we pick it up in John 6, verses 53 through 59. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my drink is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. He who eats me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not such as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever." This he said in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Powerful, powerful scripture, and if you read it carefully and if you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, you can only come up with the conclusion that Jesus was speaking literally. He was not speaking symbolically, and this is why we as Catholics, without a shadow of a doubt, for 2,000 years have been teaching, going back to the early church, going back to the witness of all the other gospels, the synoptic gospels, the letters of St. Paul in 1 Corinthians, without a doubt that Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Jennifer, how does it feel to hear those words of our Lord once again?
I'm just so glad that I got to hear them, because I think of all my friends that won't read that passage, don't know that passage, and I just want to share it with everybody. Just a lot of people aren't open to it, and that's why I hope people will be open to the Holy Spirit, because he's our best friend, you know. And I thank you so much. The Relevant Radio really opened a whole world of just love and all kinds of really great things have happened to me. And I was just so thankful. I have a great church. I sing in the choir. I have a faith life that is so much more vibrant. And I feel like I go deeper, you know, and I know that might sound trite, but I don't know how else to explain it. But you all were just a great, great part of that and a really instrumental. You and so many others at Relevant Radio, and I love supporting you. I think, you know, somebody else is going to hear you, what you just said today, and their lives are going to be changed. It's just such a valuable, valuable, invaluable ministry.
Jennifer, thank you so much. I am so humbled to hear your words. And I want to invite our listeners to share. How did you first hear about Relevant Radio? How did you first hear about this program, Morning Air? We just celebrated the 20th anniversary of Morning Air last Friday, and it was such a moving day for this reporter. Maybe you might want to share how Relevant Radio has changed your life. If you want to be part of our conversation here this morning with Jennifer Doss, a Catholic convert who at one point literally said that Relevant Radio was her church from 2004 until the time that she converted, we'd love to hear from you. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Jennifer, can you share with us what it was like to come into the fullness of the faith? How much time did it take from the time you started meditating on John 6? Did you have any other concerns, any other objections? Maybe the Blessed Mother, the papacy, was there anything else in play that was a concern before you became Catholic?
I'm ashamed to tell you, but it was mostly the thought of losing all my evangelical friends and my church and that life that I had. It took me quite a while until 2009, from 2004 until 2009. I went back and forth over, how can you do this? How can you do this? And then my friend took me to the vigil, the Easter vigil in 2009. And I just looked around and I was like, this is it. Someone said the first Mass you ever went to was the vigil? And I said, yes. And it was amazing. It was like pageantry and like all kinds of drama and all that scripture and all those people coming into the church. My church had like 13 people coming into the church that year. And it was so beautiful and moving. And I just was like, I got to do this. I got to do this. I want to be part of this. This is my church. And I had to wait a whole nother year. And, but it was worth it. I needed to learn. There were so many other things that I needed to learn, and I needed to learn about church life and culture. And I didn't have any problem with Mother Mary. Who doesn't need Mother Mary? Who wouldn't be blessed to have her as their mother? I didn't have any problem with her. Actually, I'm sort of just blessed that was the way it was for me. I know that people come in with concerns and you know, not understanding certain doctrines, and but because of you all, you thoroughly go over so many things. I understood why doctrines were what they meant, and I had a powerful catechesis that way. And you prepared it's like you prepared the soil, you prepared the ground, you know, you tilled it, you made it fertile. And but when I came into the church, I was so thrilled at all the traditions I was seeing in person instead of just hearing about them. And, you know, it was the perfect coupling, you know, my catechesis and you all were my friends when I couldn't tell people that I wanted to be a Catholic, you know. And when I came out from under, so many people just showed up to help walk me through and take care of me and make me feel at home and, you know, just show me the way and give me a very, very positive experience and the desire to never not be Catholic again. You know, I would, so many things can happen to you to tear at your faith, but that can never for me happen. And that you all blessed me. My church has blessed me. God just has blessed me. I just am so thrilled that, and then, you know, when you look back, you can see all the things that were pointing me this way and, you know, all the seeds that have been planted by people. And I thank God that I'm just this little person, this nobody, and he took all this time and energy to help point me in the right way. And I realized that he's doing that for everybody that can be open to it. A couple of days ago, Patrick Madrid gave this beautiful visual picture, you know, it's, think of ourselves as ships and that we need to catch God's wind. We need to find God's wind. And that's what I did. That's what I was lucky enough to do.
Jennifer, it is so good to hear from you and to give you this platform to share your powerful conversion story, and Relevant Radio had such a big part of it. Your final thoughts on how Relevant Radio really was your church, and it was your catechist during all those years. You were just soaking up all the teachings that you heard here on Relevant Radio.
I just thank God that you all talk about him and the doctrines and the faith and the love, and you give the whole picture that a person can be not afraid to jump and to give it their best shot to learn what it is to be a Catholic. And you're just the perfect, not just introduction, but you've walked along with me these last 13 years. It's never been anything but the most beautiful relationship in terms of you helping Catholics grow. I just appreciate you so much.
Well, praise be Jesus Christ, His Blessed Mother Mary, and Saint Joseph. Thank you so much, Jennifer. I really appreciate you being with us and sharing your story. Thanks again.
It's such a thrill to talk to you, John. You're such a special person. Thank you.
Thank you. Many blessings. Happy Easter. Catholic convert Jennifer Das. We need to take a break. When Morning Air continues, our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, will be with us to talk about St. Louis de Montfort and his method of consecration to Mary. So stay with us. There is much more to come as this Thursday edition of Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is Morning Air, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning. Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday in the third week of Easter here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And we continue to say Happy Easter during this 50-day period, this 50-day Easter season, as we get ready for the Ascension of our Lord after 40 days and Pentecost Sunday coming up at the end of May. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our real strength. If we call on the Lord in difficult situations, He will give us the grace and the strength to deal with it, if it's according to God's will. During my many years of reporting and interviewing many professional athletes, especially in Major League Baseball, I met many ballplayers who loved this verse, Philippians 4:13. They would write it on their shoes, on their bats. One guy even had a baseball card with it on it. I tell my 15-year-old son, Joseph Dominic, my high school baseball player, whatever you do in life, if you do it for the Lord, you cannot go wrong. And it's a reminder that I've been trying to pass on to him, especially when he's on the playing field. He's been crossing himself before every single at-bat since he was 7 years old. To this day, he never, ever doesn't. And lately, he's been actually incorporating the short little prayer, Jesus, I trust in you, and praise the Lord. So we always pray with great confidence, that prayer that Drew Mariani prays every day in the Chapel of Divine Mercy. Once again, Jesus, I trust in you. It is a short prayer, but it is powerful. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now, tomorrow, April 28th, we will celebrate the feast of St. Louis de Montfort. Louis's life is inseparable from his efforts to promote genuine devotion to Mary, the Mother of God, the Mother of the Church. In his classic writings, The Secret of Mary, The Secret of the Rosary, and True Devotion to Mary, St. Louis de Montfort recommends that the faithful formally consecrate themselves to Jesus through the Blessed Mother Mary. Totus Tuus, completely yours, was St. Louis de Montfort's personal motto, and it's the same motto that Karol Wojtyła, the future Pope St. John Paul II, chose as his Episcopal motto. Are you familiar with this great Marian saint? Perhaps you've heard of his method of consecration to Mary. Joining us live is our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, with much more on St. Louis de Montfort and consecration to Mary. Father Kubicki is a Jesuit priest, a retreat director, and spiritual director at the St. Francis de Sales Seminary in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, and a longtime relevant radio contributor with his daily prayer reflections, as well as a longtime contributor, almost from the very beginning to this program, to Morning Air. Good morning, Father Kubicki. Happy Easter. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It is always a joy to be with you.
Good morning, John, and happy Easter to you and to all our listeners. I love the fact that we can continue to say happy Easter because it is the Easter season. And so it's good to let the hope and joy of that season kind of something that we savor throughout these weeks. And I'm also excited to be with you, John, anticipating the feast of St. Louis de Montfort, which we celebrate tomorrow. He was a French priest who lived around the year 1700 and went around France giving talks and parish missions and retreats, something that I'm able to do now in my role as spiritual director at the seminary, but also missioned by my Jesuit province to give retreats and talks and missions. So I kind of look to him as an example for me to follow, and especially his example of devotion to Mary. You know, as you mentioned, John, Cardinal Karol Wojtyła, who became Pope St. John Paul II, was very devoted to our Blessed Mother. And at first, though, in his youth, he wondered whether devotion to Mary would take away from the love that he had for Jesus. And it wasn't until he read the writings of St. Louis de Montfort that he realized or found that true devotion to Mary leads to true devotion to Jesus. That if we are devoted to the Mother of the Son of God, our devotion to the Son of God will also grow. So he's a great example for all of us that devotion to Mary does not take away from our devotion to Jesus, but actually enhances it and makes it grow.
How did Pope John Paul II, you know, come to realize this truth? Since apparently he was not as Marian when he was younger as he was later on in his life.
That's right. You know, growing up in Poland, the devotion to Our Lady of Częstochowa is always big. So I think the seeds were planted there. But it wasn't until he read the work that you mentioned before, True Devotion to Mary, True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort. It wasn't until he read that that he began to understand that, again, devotion to Mary did not take away from his love for Jesus or honoring Jesus, but actually increased it. And because in that work, St. Louis de Montfort basically says, you know, the person who is most like Jesus was his Blessed Mother. And that makes sense. Throughout history, popes have said that the heart that was most like the heart of Jesus, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, was the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And so if we want to be more like Jesus, we would naturally want to be more like Mary. And Mary, being the mother of Jesus, can lead us to him, just as she led the servants at the wedding feast of Cana. We find that in the second chapter of the Gospel of John, chapter two, second chapter of John. And in there, we read how Mary tells the servants, do whatever Jesus tells you. And that's what Mary continually tells all of us. She's always pointing to Jesus, saying, do whatever he tells you.
Father Kubicki, you know, I've heard some theologians speculate that, you know, the hearts of Jesus and Mary were so united, they were like literally like one single heartbeat, one heart, and they had so much in common that Jesus, you know, had her DNA. He even looked like the Blessed Mother. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, just how closely united they were.
That is so true. You know, there's a song with a lyric that goes, two hearts beat as one. And I like to think of that song in terms of the hearts of Jesus and Mary, because, you know, when we think of what the heart of Jesus was set upon, it was set upon our salvation, that he came and became one of us, shared in our sorrows, our joys, but also our suffering and death, so that we could share in his resurrection, what we're celebrating during this Easter season. But it was a heart that was set upon our salvation. That's what it was totally dedicated to. And if we think of Mary, when she opened her heart to the work of the Holy Spirit at the Annunciation and said, let it be done to me according to your word, and the word of God came into her heart, but also took flesh in her womb, that again shows us that this is a heart that shares the same desires of the heart of Jesus, a heart that is set totally upon the salvation of souls, the salvation of the human race.
You know, Father Kubicki, in the movie The Passion of the Christ, which I just watched on Good Friday, my heart is touched when I see the relationship between the Blessed Mother and the young boy, Jesus. When you think about it, I'm sure she used to wash his clothes. She used to dress him. She taught him the Jewish scriptures. You see in that scene in The Passion of the Christ when he falls down, you know, how worried she is of him. And yet, then later, you know, in his passion, how much he suffered, her heart was bleeding along with his.
That's so true. You know, again, she is so united to the work of Jesus, so caring for him and seeing him fall, but that's the anticipation of the fall on the way of the cross and how her heart was broken looking upon him, but always a heart that was united with his work, the work of our salvation. So the two of them really go together, and that's why, again, true devotion to our Blessed Mother leads us into a deeper love and devotion of Jesus, her son.
And true devotion to our Blessed Mother leads us to consecration to Mary, as St. Louis de Montfort taught. I know that this is something that you have done. I've actually consecrated myself to the Blessed Mother as well. Can you share with us a little bit about this consecration to Mary?
Well, there are various forms of the consecration. The form I used was the total consecration according to St. Louis Marie de Montfort. And it goes back to the year 2003 when three lay women in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee invited me to join them in preparing to consecrate ourselves on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, December 8th, 2003. And so together in spirit, we prayed these prayers that are in a little book of preparation. And I'll always remember going out to St. James Parish in Sussex, Wisconsin, and I celebrated Mass. And in the course of that Mass, the four of us made the formal consecration to our Blessed Mother. And I renew that consecration every morning and every evening, basically saying, Jesus, I want you to have everything that I do this day. Let it be made perfect through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, that she may make up for anything that is lacking in the intentions, the words, the deeds of my day. And that's really the goal, if there's anything lacking in our devotion to him, that Mary would make up for it because we have consecrated ourselves to her.
Well, that is a beautiful witness, and you picked a great feast, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, of course, back in 2003 in the early days of Morning Air. I'd like to bring in our listeners. Have you made a consecration to Mary using the de Montfort method or any other method of consecration? If you want to share with us what it has meant to you and why you would encourage others to also make a consecration to our Mother, we'd love to hear from you. We're taking your calls for our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our discussion with Father Kubicki. There's much more to come on the other side here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America.
This is Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverts.
Your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
On Relevant Radio and Relevant Radio app.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media, we also bring to you His mother day after day. Welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. As we continue our discussion with our spiritual director this morning, Father James Kubicki, the spiritual director of the St. Francis DeSales Seminary in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee and a longtime retreat director. We're talking about St. Louis de Montfort and his method of consecration to Mary. Father, I wanted to go to the phone lines this morning. Eileen is joining us from beautiful Bradenton, Florida, in the Sunshine State. Good morning, Eileen. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Father Kubicki.
Oh, thank you so much. I am just thrilled. I'm sitting here. I was on the phone, wanting to talk about something else, and I was waiting on hold, and I heard the conversation about true devotion to Mary. And I remember I started reading the book. Actually, I finished reading it about a year ago. I received it in the mail, and tell you the truth, I just came back to my Catholic faith recently, about right around that time, and I didn't know anything about this book, and I read it, and I was a little bit confused, a little bit overwhelmed by it, but I do remember praying at one point, praying to Mary, I think it was a suggestion, pray to our mother and ask her to help you learn about her son, Jesus, and that just, I remember, now that I'm holding this book, I remember praying, making that prayer. And since then, I've been, constantly learning about her son. And I forgot that I made that prayer. And now I have to read this book again, because now I think I have a better understanding what I'm reading, because I received it in the mail. I knew nothing about this book. And it's just amazing to me that you were just discussing this morning when I had called in. And I'm holding the book in my hand, and I'm going to read it again.
A God incidence. There's no accidents with our Lord, Eileen. Thank you so much. Father Kubicki, what do you think?
Well, I think it's wonderful. You know, that's the way providence works. As you said, there's no coincidence. It's all God incidence. And, you know, to have that book right in front of her, Eileen, and then to be wanting to call in to talk about something else. But then this is the topic that it's really the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And whoever sent Eileen that book, True Devotion to Mary, you could just see how, little things like that, that are anonymous or out of the blue, that God uses those ways of touching us. And so to make that prayer, to know Jesus better, and to ask Mary to help us to know Jesus better, and how that prayer is being answered in Eileen's life is just a wonderful testimony to the power of God's grace at work through us, through each other.
Thanks so much, Eileen. I really do appreciate that call. Thanks again for being with us. Father, why would the average Catholic want to consecrate themselves totally to our Blessed Mother?
Well, I think, it's a very simple process. It's a little bit complicated in the way that St. Louis de Montfort presents it. But if you do this over 33 days, it's a wonderful way of, let's say, jump-starting your daily prayer life. But then the follow-up is wonderful. It's for me, I try to renew that consecration, as I said, every morning and every evening with a simple prayer. All for you, Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, through Mary. And when we do that, it's just a very simple way of reminding ourselves that we are disciples of Jesus, that we are His followers, we are part of His body. And as Mary is the mother of Christ, so she is the mother of the body of Christ. And so it's a way of our keeping in touch with our mother. We all like to do that. In a few weeks, we're going to have Mother's Day. But it's a wonderful way for us each day to be in touch with our spiritual mother, the Blessed Mother, to whom Jesus was so devoted as her son, and so invites us to also be devoted as sons of Mary, Mother of the Church.
Like you mentioned at the beginning, the Blessed Mother always points us to her Son, always reminding us, do whatever he tells you, and that he, of course, is Jesus. So I believe that we can't go wrong in going to our Blessed Mother Mary, to Mary, through Mary, to Jesus.
That's so true, John. And, you know, when we do this total consecration to our Blessed Mother, you know, as I recall, doing that back in 2003, you know, it wasn't as though it was followed by all kinds of fireworks and you know, big moments or big changes in my life. But it did, I think, plant seeds that are bearing fruit. And so, since high school or even before that, I was always devoted to our Blessed Mother. But by making this total consecration, I trust and I believe that our Blessed Mother took me even more under her care. She always cares for us, but there's sort of a way that as we consecrate ourselves to her in a formal way, we basically put ourselves more under the protection of her mantle. Of course, the scapular is another way that this is done, and that also involves a type of consecration. But all of these ways of devoting ourselves to our Blessed Mother kind of open ourselves up to graces that we may never be aware of in this life, but certainly in the next life, when we look, when we see the picture of our earthly life, we'll see how these moments and these things like consecration played a role in keeping us safe and drawing us closer to Jesus.
Father, can you talk about the reality that a Marian consecration is not a one-and-done thing? It's not a one-time thing. It's something that we need to live out throughout our lives. How do we do that in the fullest way?
Well, that's really true. And, you know, I've had a number of seminarians at St. Francis de Sales Seminary ask me about the consecration to our Blessed Mother. And one of the things I encourage them, and I've given them prayers, those prayers to pray in the evening or in the morning. But the idea behind prayer is not, as you said, a one and done deal. It's not, well, if I pray this prayer, then everything's going to go well. But it's a way of our increasing our awareness of the Blessed Mother's presence in our lives, how much she desires us to know her Son. And through these little, they're like little memory devices that if we say these prayers every morning or in the evening, just short little prayer, all yours, Jesus, through Mary, those kinds of prayers remind us and keep us stronger in our commitment throughout the day to live out our consecration, just as our baptism is meant to be lived out throughout the day, and we don't just renew our baptism at the Easter Vigil or Easter Sunday, but it's something that we are called to live every day. So our Blessed Mother helps us live out those graces of baptism and consecration every day as we turn to her.
We'll have to leave it right there. I so much appreciate your love and passion for our Blessed Mother and your spiritual direction here this morning. Thanks so much, Father Kubicki.
You're very welcome, John. God bless you and our listeners.
Father James Kubicki, our spiritual director. And now it's time for yet another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today called The Choice by R. Wayne Edwards. A slip of a girl from a very small town where gossip was quick to drag the best down, a girl that was single was having a baby. It was certainly a sin, no if, but, or maybe. No way to explain an illegitimate child. The rumors were swift. They began to run wild. She led a good life, tried not to sin, but her neighbors now thought how terrible she'd been. The man she would marry, now what would he say? How would she tell him? It was sure to ruin his day. No DNA test, there was no need to bother. She knew her betrothed could not be the father. She was such a young girl, this time in her life, a baby could bring her nothing but strife. A marriage was planned and a trip far away. Her love was a carpenter with very poor pay. So if he would have her, no matter her plight, how would they survive with a budget so tight? He was such a good person, a very nice man, but when he found out, would he understand? Her friends were so quick to give her advice. No man would want her, no matter how nice. Before he finds out, they said, "There's no doubt. We tell you as friends, take the easy way out. After all, it's just tissue, it's not yet a life. Why should it cause you inconvenience and strife?" She knew what they called just fetal demise was the death of a child in God's holy eyes. And she knew a great sin surely it would be, not just against God, but humanity. What a terrible world of hate and distortion if Mary of Nazareth had had an abortion. Psalm 139:13, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb."
Powerful story corner, Glenn. Thanks so much. During this Easter season, pray and watch the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky. Tonight with special guest host Cale Clark, 7 p.m. Central tonight here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. That'll do it for this Thursday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverance, for the entire team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you Friday on the next edition of Morning Air. Jesus, I Trust in You. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.